Hello, and welcome to Hosts of Ascalon, a Guild Wars 2 podcast, where two enthusiastic fangirls gush over Tyrian fashion with one grumpy pants. I'm Hashtag.
Who was not actually part of the thing.
Well, way to exclude me. Thank you.
We'll get to that. We did include Hunter in our decision-making for our fashion contest. I'm Hashtag. I'm joined, as always, by Hunter and Alona. Hello.
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 Before we get started, a quick reminder that you can get in touch with us with news, questions, or comments by emailing us at hostsofascalon@gmail.com or on Twitter at hostsofascalon. So normally we start with our weekly achievements, but tonight we have a special treat. Coffee and Quests, who is in chat with us, blessed us with our very own Hosts of Ascalon bingo card. So if you'd like to play along, we've tweeted out a link to the image, and we've also put the link in chat for our live listeners. And once you have a bingo, tweet a picture of your card, and we have a special prize for the winner of our totally spontaneous contest. The winner will receive a fabulous screenshot of your three favorite hosts with the winner's player character. So we will meet up, arrange a time, take a picture.
What if their favorite hosts are like another show?
Favorite hosts of Ascalon.
Well, you didn't put a capital H on that.
I want to point out that usually, like in bingo, everyone has a different card with different options.
Yeah. This is just whoever's the fastest at it.
Yeah.
This is the first one.
And we're playing, right, like you don't have to fill it out, the whole thing, just a row, a diagonal, a column, right? Yeah. Okay.
It's just for fun.
Just for funsies.
And prizes.
And prizes. So now it's time for Chivos, where we discuss what we did in Guild Wars 2 this week. Alona, would you like to start us off?
Well, I think for once I have the smallest list of things done in game. So, you know, that's in and of itself somewhat impressive. I did an impromptu raid. This is going back, you know, shortly after the last show. So this is going back a little bit. It was, they got a message saying, hey, we're doing the escort one. And this was Guild Mag. And they said, would you like to come along? And it was already like almost midnight. I'm like, I don't know. I'm kind of tired. And I went along anyway, and it was a lot of fun. And I think I did my Daredevil for that one. And then the regular Guild Mag raid that I've been doing, did that twice in the time since the last show. I'm making huge progress. I feel, so it's still on Cairn, my nemesis. Cairn! It's like Khan, but different. And I feel I'm still getting teleported, but I'm not getting teleported as much as I was earlier. And I feel like I'm also faster at getting back to Cairn when it does happen. And I'm getting better at using the special action, which is
I think I agree.
Huge.
And I think all around we seem to be getting better. We're getting consistently down in the 30s, 20% ish. Range.
Yeah. We got below 20 a couple times, didn't we?
That's right, we did.
Yeah. And of course, Guild Wars 1, we did Prophecies, and then we streamed Prophecies. I played Nightfall with Panther, and then you and I streamed Prophecies again. And now we're in this tough limbo state where we're not going to get more quests until we're level 10. And so I had two things I wanted to talk about with this one particularly. I think when we quickly chose a second profession, we kind of hampered ourselves, Hashtag, because I think that's where a lot of the experience was coming from.
Whoops.
And so if you had tried all the professions available to you, we probably would have been much closer to level 10 at this point. And also, and this is totally not the time to bring this up, but maybe we should individually or together off stream try to power level to 10 so it's at least interesting for the stream next time.
I totally agree. As we wander around looking for quests that aren't there.
Well, that are not there. Thank goodness for chat telling us. Yeah, you're not going to see anything till you're 10. Oh.
Right. Wah. Right.
We did missions several times in this time span, and I wanted to mention this past Sunday, we did the 3 bounty, which we had never done before, and I am super duper proud of us. We failed the first time, partly because I forgot about the time limit and waited too long to take on Poobadoo for the group I was leading. And but we got it the second time, and that was cool.
Yeah, I think it was just bad luck the first time.
No, it wasn't bad luck. It was, well, we were waiting for Poobadoo to get to shore for a long time.
Well, yeah, and our group failed to kill Wiki quickly. Like, we failed and then had to find him a second time and kill him, which we did, but that took up all of our time.
Yeah.
So if we had moved on quicker, and if your group had moved on quicker, we would have probably finished it.
Yeah, I felt bad because there were two people that were also trying to get the, it's the dude in Mount Maelstrom, the Kamali, half-baked Kamali. Mm-hmm. And right. So they joined the squad just because there were just two of them wanting to do it. And because we ran out of time, it failed instantly, even though we were doing decent at taking it down. I'm like, oh, I feel bad, guys. Sorry. We completely boned this for you. And finally, I World versus World twice. Once was before this last Tuesday's patch. And of course, I did play yesterday after work. I didn't notice an immediate difference other than the super long queue times. And in both cases, I mostly stuck like glue to a commander. So for me, I didn't notice. I did like the pips. It felt like nice, you know, gradual rewards. Like you can see progress happening, which is, I think, helpful. And wow, those queues.
Yeah.
Like so long. Like I actually didn't think I was going to get to play at all yesterday. I thought I think I'm going to have to log out before I even get a chance to get in there because it's so long. But
I think if you play short periods of time, it's not as good because you have to get up to tier 3 before the pips start, and then the rewards really come at the end of the skirmish or like after a period of time. So if you're only playing for a short period, it's not going to be noticeable.
And hashtag sure sounds like you've discovered that once you're in for a while.
Yeah.
leave at all. So I think that's really all I did. Like everything else was just kind of general minutiae playing, but not really. Yeah, dailies, not really. Dailies. You know, just tooling around and doing stuff. So I think that's it for me. What did you do, Hunter?
Well, I exchanged 100 gold for gems, as I think the closer we get to the expansion, the higher the price is going to rise. So I'm probably going to do that again before the expansion drops. Probably going to get up to, like, I don't know, 800, 1,000 gems at least. Going to be watching that pretty closely over the next few months. I did a small amount
of... How
often
do you do that, actually?
Pretty often.
Really?
Well, once every few months.
Okay. I think I've done it like twice.
Well, I have like almost all my bank tabs I haven't paid with actual money. I bought with by exchanging gold for gems. And I have like 10 bank tabs. So I did a small amount of World versus World before the patch. I was in there doing a daily and I saw an emergency waypoint being called out in map chat and I went to help and we drove off a superior force from inside the keep, which was great. A lot of fun. Love it when that happens. It sucks when there's an emergency waypoint is called out and like you get inside the keep and they're already inside the inner keep and they just run you over. But yeah, that was really effective from emergency waypoint use. I was also up at Claw Jormag for the daily one day and I got a Jormag's claw fragment, which is worth 130 gold or so.
That could be like the gems you just converted.
Yeah. I still have it, though. I haven't sold it. It's a very rare drop that unlocks the corrupted weapon collection. The collection costs hundreds of gold to complete it, so I'm debating whether to keep the fragment or just sell it. I don't know. I spent a little over an hour at the Engie farm in Lake Doric last week. Did not make a lot of leather, unfortunately, but that really isn't the point of doing that farm. It's just
you,
what
you
I want the farm to be.
You said you hardly ever get much leather from that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it's supposed to be for, but it's not effective. People go there for the T6 mask that you get out of the bags from the, like the Centaur supply bags or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's great and everything. And that keeps T6 prices low, but I wanted something for leather. I spent a bunch of time in Rover vs. World yesterday after the batch and have a few thoughts. Mm-hmm. I think tickets are kind of grindy to get. Spent 4 hours in Rover vs. World yesterday, and I only got about 25 tickets. Takes 350 tickets to get most of the major purchases. That is very grindy, and I've seen people complaining on Reddit and elsewhere that...
Wait. On Reddit?
Yeah, people are complaining. It's a really unique situation. But
sorry,
if you compare the rewards from Rover vs. World to the rewards from PvP, it's much easier to get like ascended gear and stuff in PvP, and right. It's just a bit mind-boggling. It's like
what?
I don't know. So putting that aside, the loyalty reward is probably too low, and the outnumbered reward is probably too high for pips.
I don't think hashtag would agree with you.
Seen people constantly talking about it on Reddit, in guild chat, Jalinar's in chat, he was talking about it earlier. But 5 pips for just being outnumbered, that, for me personally, that doubles the amount of pips that I'm getting for the skirmish reward tracks. And that is a lot of pips. And I don't know. I just think it's probably too high.
Also, Jalinar in chat is saying that you're time-gated to 175 tickets per week. I don't know if we mentioned that earlier down or not.
That's true.
Yeah.
But, I mean, even to get 175 tickets a week, you're going to have to spend hours upon hours upon hours in a week.
So, very few people will probably hit that.
Yeah.
Well, your regulars will hit it, but not your casuals.
Yeah. Loyalty reward track. Like, for one point, you can leave the server you're on, go to a more successful server, and still be getting more pips despite losing the loyalty pip. So I think that needs to be bumped up to make more of a difference in what you're losing versus what you're gaining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just some other minor notes. Like I was doing the hero reward track and I was trying to time it so that I finished the hero reward track just as the update came in, and I finished it like after an hour and I got the hero staff, but then I went to research how to upgrade that and they had changed it around. Of course, I should have figured they were going to change it, but it used to be you'd spend 200 tickets to Mystic Forge the hero weapon into a Mistforged hero's weapon. But now it's like 350 tickets or something.
Oh no.
So it's more expensive and you can't do it the old way. So I don't know. It's just a waste of time. And the final thing I wanted to comment on was just like the childish behavior of World versus World players. Just underlines my generally negative attitude towards PV players in all genres of all games.
But like, then why do you go into World versus World but not PvP?
It's more chaotic and like there's less pressure. The toxicity of the attitudes of the players is the same for me, in my opinion.
You can get lost in the crowd in World versus World.
Yeah, and you can kind of walk away from it.
Yeah, no.
That's true. Yeah. If you walk away from a PvP match, you dishonor on you, dishonor on your cow.
It's much more personal. Like people will learn your name in chat and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. It's much more anonymous in World versus World, but that's why I do that. Yeah, but I don't know anyone who didn't bear witness to toxic players playing World versus World the past couple days. I just feel like PvP players tend to be just really negative and terrible people.
Oh,
but, well then.
Yeah, that's what I did this week. Hashtag, what did you do this week?
Okay, so on Friday night, I subbed into Raid with Relics, and we did most of Wing 4. So we did Karen, Rissat Overseer, Samurog, and we poked at Deimos, I think. And then we poked at the escort, and then we did Veil Guardian. And after smacking Karen for 3 weeks with Guild Mag, I feel like I have a better handle on the overall mechanics. So obviously it's going to go smoother for me with Relics because I'm kind of being carried a little bit. But I felt like I knew what was going on and I knew what I needed to do so I could help out a little bit. So
you were also saying, and I agree, that when you glide into the fight, it's the first attack, dodge the second attack.
Right. So I hear in my head
every time.
Right. I hear in my head the Guild Mag commands.
Valiant.
Right. Valiant while I'm playing with Relics. So that's good. That's good. Yeah. And, you know, I'm still messing up, but I know why I'm messing up. So previously I didn't understand the teleports. I just knew something was throwing me out and I didn't know.
Oh.
I didn't know that you needed to be closer to Cairn. Like that was the best spot to be, but then you have to watch your feet for the teleports.
No. Oh yeah, yeah. Because the closer you are, you don't get the starfish, but then there's the teleports. Yeah.
Right. So you kind of have to watch between those two things. And I figured out probably, I think it was the second time I was with Guild Mag, that contrary to what I would normally think and how I normally play, it's better for me to be zoomed way in for Cairn, and I can just kind of watch my feet and I can see the teleports much better.
Yeah.
So
I tried both ways and I found I need to be zoomed out because there are other, if I'm zoomed right in and we have to get to a circle. So if you're unaware of the fight, at various points, these green circles show up and you have to use your special action key and or just any other movement to be able to get into them. And if I'm zoomed in, I can't see where those are fast enough.
Yeah. So I do. Yeah. I do have to zoom out a little bit when we get to those stages, and then kind of in between, I zoom back in. Yeah. So I'm trying to get kind of smoother at moving in and out and moving around. Mm-hmm. So I have also been working on the supposed scepter.
the non-existent supposed scepter.
It's happening, people. It's happening. Are you getting ready? I mean, everybody should be getting ready, except for Hunter, because I want to get it before him. So
so you would be mad if I made it day one?
Yes.
I told you he said that to me, right? We were in there. He was like, so how mad do you think hashtag would be if I had everything set up and got if it did drop and I got it day one?
So this means is I'm doing everything I can do to be ready on day one. So I finished the Gift of Maguma with my Daredevil to get, the mastery. What am I thinking? Yeah, no, you have to do all the maps get map completion to finish the Gift of Maguma. And this is actually the first time that I've done that since launch with of Heart of Thorns.
Whoa.
Yeah. So Tangled Depths took forever. Like
yes,
weeks.
But say
and
it
Hunter,
how you spelled it out in the show notes though.
Forever. So I posted in chat. I remember I posted in chat like, yay, I finally did it. And Hunter's like, I've got 35 complete.
I mean, fine, I think people, like, it's definitely confusing to learn at first, but Tangled Depths, in my opinion, is not that difficult after that.
I think that's fair. I think if you've done it a couple times, it's better. My biggest problem, though, was any of the hero points that you needed a crowd for. So I had to wait and watch and look on LFG. Well, I mean, there were definitely hero point trains. You just have to kind of get on at the right time.
You should have been asking me and Alona or anyone else from Mach or RO.
I agree. It just so happened that the past couple of weeks we've kind of had odd hours.
Okay. We haven't really... Okay. I should have put in my this week. I'm actually kind of bummed we haven't been playing as much together as we normally do.
That's because you guys are raiding. The little elite raiders.
Oh, I take it back. I miss playing with you, hashtag.
Ba-dum-bump. Okay, so... Dragonstand, I got down very quickly. And I remember it kind of being the opposite when I did it at launch. Tangled Depths, I got done faster because everybody was in there. Everybody was doing it together. And then Dragonstand took me a longer time because I didn't have all of the masteries completed, like the poison mastery and I don't remember what the other ones were that I needed. But this time I finished it in one round of the meta. So that was nice. But I think also, didn't they change it so that after the fight, you have longer?
Yes, I think so.
Right? So
yeah,
I think that probably helped too. So as far as Dovey Dub, I did it for most of my game playing time yesterday and today. And I have finished up through about halfway through Silver. Yeah, go ahead.
So how long did that take to get you halfway through Silver? How many hours of World versus World would you say?
Probably about 8.
Okay, well, I'm halfway through Silver and it took me about 4.
Yeah.
So that is like such a big difference between pips.
Right. And that's what it is. So I, you know, Hunter, you are what's your level?
715.
Right. And I am, as of today, 130. And so depending on how well my world was doing, sometimes I only got one pip per tick. So, and actually that was more yesterday when I was playing. I was just playing and I was there and I was kind of, you know, joining squads and very involved. And then today I started playing for pips. So I watched for the outnumbered. If I didn't have the outnumbered buff, I swapped maps.
Smart.
To try to find a map that had the outnumbered buff and typically got it. And my world was doing a little bit better today. So sometimes we were in first and sometimes we were in second. So I was consistently getting, you know, 7 pips, which is a huge difference going from 1 pip to 7 mm-hmm. pips and really sped up my progression. So last night I only made it through, you know, two rounds for the wooden boxes, and then today playing for pips I sped way through. And we talked a little bit about the show, Hunter and I, about some of the toxicity, that the problem with the outnumbered buff I saw on some of the maps. You know, that we had the outnumbered buff and then a guild group would show up and people would be frustrated because then they would lose that buff, which, you know,
which is exactly what you don't want in that situation.
Right. It's like when they had things where people were failing events to get, like in PvE. It's just, it's kind of the same mentality,
right? Because, well, if you think about it, so if we're winning, we only get 3 pips, but if we have the outnumbered buff, we get 5 pips. So it depends on what your goals are. You know, you might care less about your world winning and more about just getting on a, you know, a less populated map. Mm-hmm. So I think that's something that's going to need to be sorted out. I mean, I can understand how on the one side they kind of want to balance it, where people who, like me, you know, I'm only a level 130. If I'm only getting, you know, if let's say I only get, you know, 2 or 3 pips for being outnumbered, it's going to take me a very, very long time. And it's not realistic that I would, you know, finish the reward track before the reset.
Yeah.
But so on the other hand.
So if they nerf that, that's kind of a disaster for you.
Right. Right.
Which is unfortunate. So,
it is, but I don't know. You got to keep it. I think it would be worth it because it would help with the toxicity. I don't want that to take over.
Yep. Good.
Yeah. And and lastly, I wanted to mention that I got the legendary spike within about five minutes of logging in. Yeah, I was, what was I doing? I took down a player. I was in a Zerg, and it just, boom, there it was. So
great. So now all you need
that
is
sounds very legendary.
Yes.
Because you combine that with four gifts of battle and a stack of memories of battle, and what's the other thing?
And the spike.
Two vision crystals.
Right. Although, I mean, I want to say on the positive side, previous to yesterday, the thought of me spending 8 hours in WW, you know, that's like, kill me now. And, you know, I did it for the gifts of battle, but I didn't really enjoy it. And I actually had a lot of fun yesterday and today playing. So,
but do you think it was because there was a larger population?
I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, there were good fights and there was a larger population, but there's a larger population because there's more rewards. It's all related. And so I want to say, like, I think it's definitely a step in the right direction. I felt like my bags were being filled a lot more often. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I filled up a couple reward tracks, which I don't normally do. So,
wow. Yeah, the skirmish addition to the reward track, like I forget what it's called exactly, but you get like little pips of progression on those reward tracks. Pips is the wrong word, but you get what I'm saying.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's
actually
great.
I wasn't in it long enough to actually finish a skirmish just because it was so late at night. I'm like, I can't do it, but I'm looking forward to trying it. Mm-hmm. Getting that
right. And I know Hunter, I'm sorry, but Zero mentioned in chat that, you know, this with the slowness of rewards, we may see this drop off a bit. But I think it depends on the type of rewards, right? Like if you're going for the rewards, like Hunter was talking about with the tickets. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. But as somebody who previously played WW, you know, a couple of years ago and then has jumped in and out a little bit, just seeing my bags full of mats is a huge improvement. And I find that rewarding. So, you know, that encouraged me to keep playing.
And the fact that you could hang out, you had to let you got the participation up, you got to stay.
Oh, okay. So Festy and I were joking tonight because it was so, you know, before you get your participation up and you're like, okay, you know, I'm going to just wait around a little bit till my participation dies down. But now it's like, oh, I got my participation up and I've got the outnumbered buff. I can't log off now because.
Right.
Your children are wandering hungry through the house. Can't leave.
So confession, this is not good. I had to go pick up my daughter from an after school activity, and I just parked myself in an outnumbered borderland where there were not very many people there, so I wasn't taking up a queue spot, and came back and had almost a whole pip line filled. So,
oh jeez, you are the worst.
I wasn't.
You
it was.
Are
but seriously,
the worst.
I mean, we live right around the corner from the school. It wasn't like I was gone for very long, but yeah,
shocking. What happens to me with participation is I'll go to let my participation wear out, and like some objective that I attempted to get earlier but failed to do gets taken, and so I get an award, an event reward, and that'll keep my participation up. So I'll be there for like ages, and that'll keep happening, and then I'll forget, oh, I'm letting my participation run out, and I'll go and I'll repair something. Happens all the time.
Won't somebody think of the children?
So about every other week, we post a poll on Twitter for what we call Votes of Ascalon. And this week we asked, which member of Dragon's Watch would win Survivor? And this was timely because when we posted this, it was actually the finale night for the TV show Survivor. Which I watch. And many of our loyal listeners also watch. We had 160 people respond, which is pretty good. And the winner with 49% of the vote was Ritlock, followed by Rocks at 21%, Marjorie at 15%, and Casimir at 14%. So who did you guys vote for?
I voted for Rox because she's a ranger and a char, and she could probably eat Marjorie or Casimir and survive that way.
I didn't expect it to go there. I voted Marjorie because I think she has the smarts and the subtlety to survive and manipulate to get what she needs, even if she is not necessarily the most powerful.
So I voted for Ritlock because I thought Casimir and Marjorie would cancel each other out. I think they would be one of the couples that chooses each other over the game. We don't need the $1 million. We have each other. We've repaired our relationship.
You're adding a narrative to a Twitter poll. Okay.
But if you think about it, they're together. They're going to share the money. They win either way.
Right? Well, no, I don't know. So I think Ritlock.
Some things are more important than money, Alona.
I think Ritlock would win because he knows how to keep a secret. And, you know, we still don't know what happened to him in the mist.
I don't think he knows what happens to him.
So he's kind of a shifty guy, you know, but everybody kind of likes
him. I thought you were
going to
say something else. No.
So anyway, that's what I went with. As far as our listeners, let's see, we had some responses. At Flipside 3 said, Kaz is craftier than you think. She knows when people are lying. She'll charm and hiccup her way to a win. But here's the thing. I mean, don't you think that Marjorie knows about the hiccups? I mean, right? Right?
I think everyone
why.
Does.
Everybody
really,
does.
From Dragonwatch.
So she'd be like, you know, I'm not voting for you. And, you know.
This is why I think, so Gryback's the next one. I'm going to let you read it, but I have their back on this.
Okay. So Gryback said, Marjorie is good enough at deception while also being likable. She also wouldn't shy away from voting out a friend. Kaz has all the magical deception to go for it, but I don't think she has the nerve to keep up such personal deceptions. Most of the rest are muscle heads. True enough. And then Calabajui said, Rocks, but then she'll open her chest cavity and reveal she's really tiny in a rocks golem.
I'm down with that.
I think he's been watching too much Alien.
But it's a golem. It's not like not a chest burst.
It's not a chest person.
Chest burster. Timey popping out of John Hurt's
chest. It's like a bodice
chest.
Ripper.
It's not going to happen.
Oh, boy. Okay. At Helen Angel said, after all he's been through, Ritlock is already a survivor, though Logan would have also had my vote.
Because he'd run away. He wouldn't be
Logan would
there
quit.
To be
He'd
voted
be one
off.
Of the quitters.
Someone's bitter about Logan, Jesus.
Still, never forget.
And finally, at Guardian Nick said, adding Ritlock kind of spoils the whole contest. He already won and walked off the contest stage as a revenant. Hmm.
Which allowed the rest of us to be one.
Dun, dun, dun.
So it was a good poll.
All right. Yeah. So next up, Alona is going to talk about our contest.
We were very excited for this contest. Like, I actually talked with, well, anyone
super
about
excited.
It a lot. And you guys delivered. Like, we got 23. I actually posted the poll of how many gods got entries, the spread, and I actually counted wrong. I was off by one. We actually had one more than I put in, and we got like six Cormiers, which who knew that Cormier would be like the runaway favorite for this. And we took pains, like major pains, to single out the outfits from the screenshots, because some of these screenshots are just phenomenal. And side note, our next contest might specifically be for screenshots. And yeah, so, okay, on to the promised RuPaul Drag Race style portion of the contest. I have to get this ready.
Get in character.
Woo. Gotta get in character. I have to turn off the slideshow. There's the Hote of Ascalon. Here we go. Oh, it's okay. I have to get in my RuPaul voice now. I was doing it earlier. I'm going to laugh through this. All right. Contestants, you were challenged to bring us your favorite of Tyria's six gods, using all your guts, enthusiasm, majesty, and smarts. Bum, bum, bum. Cue the music that we don't have the rights to play. Bum, bum. Actually, I have the music on my iTunes because I like RuPaul. All right. Gotta do this right. All right. I'm going to start this off here.
And here we go.
All right. Samuel, your non-literal take on Balthazar was on fire. You are our third place entry. Shut that off.
So.
I'm shaking. Congratulations. I'm shaking to do this.
So we really
like. I have to move on. Can,
oh, wait, okay, oh. Never mind. Are we not going to talk
about it?
We'll do it at the end.
Okay.
Kayla, we got shivers from the wintry presence of your Grenth. Enough so we were scared into placing this entry second.
Are you clapping?
I was clapping.
I hope it doesn't sound like I'm doing something else. What?
You're clapping.
Like just clapping.
Stop. I'm clapping.
All right. Yuhua, your Cormyr gave us sight and made us never want to fight alone. Congratulations, Spear Marshal. You are the winner of the first Hosk of Ascalon fashion contest.
Yay!
We will be reaching out to all three of you for your mailing addresses, and if you did not make the final three, we hope you enter in future contests because we definitely want to see more from all of you because it was amazing. And I need to work on my RuPaul. So yeah, let's talk about the three entries. Or the three.
Well, first of all, can we discuss what they actually won? What did Samuel win? Oh, you don't remember. I should not. We should have discussed this earlier.
We should have. We have the shirts and the pins.
And a shirt, pin, and lanyard. And cannot remember off the top of my head.
Oh, no.
Who gets. Oh, we have it in our show notes.
Professional,
I can look at the
podcast.
Show notes. Yay!
There it is. Hunter Singh. Bingo.
It's not. Yeah, Alona Sighing is not on the big. Okay, first of all, I was very pleased coming up with these. I'm like patting myself on the back because
it was not easy. Well done.
So, yes, I'll refer to our list of who gets what prize. It's on Twitter. We talked about it on the show. It's in previous show notes. It's all good. We know what we're doing. So yeah, Samuel R. This was really hard. This was okay across the board. This was hard. We decided to go with this one because it had a little bit of fire and it felt Balthazar without being all flames.
Balthazar. Yeah. No. Yeah. Yes. It wasn't over the top Balthazar, but it definitely was in the spirit of Balthazar, and it was a really creative collection of armor pieces to accomplish that. I feel like it really got the heart of Balthazar. Yes.
And yeah, not across the board, but sometimes it was, if it came down to, if they were like, we're not sure how to place these, sometimes it came down to how many pieces were being used.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, like, and not, there's no science to this, let's be honest. But you know, sometimes it was, something might, like that might tip over into one or the other. And then for Kayla had actually submitted several. And
all of Kayla's entries were gorgeous. I mean, the screenshots were gorgeous.
Oh, yes. Just before we continue on, I wanted to just mention that For the remainder of this episode, we're going to be running a slideshow of all the entries that we received, and we're going to be uploading all the images to an Imgur file, and we're going and sharing the link out on our Twitter account. So if you want to see them all, that's where they're going to be. And they're going to have, obviously, the god and also the person's name who entered. All right. So back to Kaelas, Grenth. For me, it was the use of Winter's presence with this one that tipped it over. It was just...
Yeah, agreed.
So that was...
It's a female. It's, you know, not fully clothed and yet still manages to capture the essence.
Yeah, mask really brings it together for me. Not so much anything else, but the mask choice. I think it's one of the starter necro masks, maybe?
Yeah, it's dry bones. And a few people had used that because, I mean, it makes sense. It's very Grenthy. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was the winter's presence for that, the chill and the wintry aspect of Grenth that I not fully clothed. So that was pretty awesome. And for Cormyr, there were so many. Oh, they were all so good.
Right. It was very hard.
It was very hard. Cormyrs. In the end, for me, this felt Sunspear. This felt like Paragon.
Very good choice of color.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah. I think that the color scheme was very consistent across entries, obviously. But and I kind of like the addition of the hawk wings.
Love the hawk wings. For this
one. Yeah. Yeah. But even without it, it's the armor combination just says Paragon to me, and just great job. And it's actually kind of nice if you like this combination, you can actually see in the screenshot what was used. So that's kind of awesome as well. Yeah. And actually a few people did, if they emailed us, they included which armor pieces they used. And sometimes the screenshots, like Yuki was here, had that as well. And we also just wanted to talk a little bit about some of the entries that weren't necessarily so Romo.
Special mentions.
Special mention to Romo. You're going to see it when we get to... Actually, I'm just going to start the slideshow. Because it is... Well, that's the first one up.
Hey! Fantastic!
It's 2.8. Because 7 crossed out. Because they had to add googly eyes for me. So that was a... Yeah, it made us laugh a lot. Yeah, it was such footfalls, like so good. And also Particle Shift, we certainly applaud your risk-taking. They entered an Azura for Cormyr, which I loved. And, you know, they may be short of stature, but big in heart. And we also wanted to thank for they submitted, they were a vile betrayer, essentially, and submitted an entry for the Char's fake gods. So although realistically, it could have easily slid into the Balthazar category.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When you think about it. So, and that was it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you to everyone who entered.
Are you not going to mention
we missed one.
Hulk?
Yes, we missed the Hulk cosplay as Lyssa, which
Hulk
so good.
Cosplaying as Lyssa. Yeah.
It's funny.
It's good. I love the earmuffs used as
for
well.
The head.
They were so good. So yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you for entering the contest. It is obvious people put a lot of effort into their entries, and there were hard decisions being made. And I want to give everyone prizes, but we only have 3. So thank you all, and we will have another contest in the future. It might have to be a screenshot. And we will just keep calling it Hoat of Ascalon because I like that name. That might just be our contest name now. Woohoo.
And And now it's time for Posts of Ascalon, where we discuss the latest news in Guild Wars 2. First up is the June 7th update notes. So as part of the June 2017 competitive feature pack, updates to World vs. World will include improved LFG, new rewards, skirmishing updates, and more. So in general, Power of the Mist has been disabled and has been replaced with the new Skirmish Reward UI. Now, I'm wondering personally if, like, that means that we no longer get those PvE bonuses from World vs. World, or has that been a thing for a while? Because that's where you used to look and see what you had. So I don't know if they got rid of that or not.
I feel like I've seen those in a while.
I don't think you would ever see them because they were in the background. But anyway, the standard enemy models option beneath competitive now functions in World vs. World. I'm sure people have been looking for that. Skirmish rewards. The World vs. World match overview tab has been reworked to include the new skirmish reward track. I'm a little confused as to why they didn't rework the reward track to have the skirmish reward track. Like the reward track tab. Instead, they put it on the other tab. You guys don't have any opinion on that? Okay.
It's a separate thing because you're earning your reward track items.
I don't know. It's
in
all
addition
rewards
to your pips.
Yeah. No, I sort of understand it, but I think I probably would have preferred to have it on the same page. But anyway. The skirmish reward track.
I haven't noticed it yet, so okay. I haven't experienced enough to have an opinion.
That's fine. The skirmish reward track is progressed by earning pips. Pips are earned every tick and are rewarded based on the following. Now, every tick means every 5 minutes. But they're based on the following. Your world's position during the skirmish, first, second, or third place. Your world versus world rank. So if you are below 120, was it? Hashtag?
No, I think it's 150.
150. Between 150 and 600 or so would be the next rank up. So you get 1 point below 150, 2 points below 600 or so, and then 3 points above 600, and then so on. A commanding a squad containing at least 5 people awards a pip, playing on the same world for at least 3 weeks. That's the loyalty pip. Playing on a map in which you are outnumbered awards the 5 pips we were talking about earlier. Pips cannot be earned if you have recently transferred or if you do not have enough participation. You need to be tier 3 in participation, mm-hmm. which means you get about 95 participation points. Mm-hmm. You must play on a world for an entire match in order to be eligible for earning pips. Crossing tiers and divisions gives various rewards, including skirmish claim tickets, which have been replaced, tournament tickets that can be used at the skirmish supervisor vendor. The skirmish supervisor vendor has replaced the battle historian on all World vs. World maps. This vendor sells ascended and exotic World vs. World gear, including the brand new Triumphant Heroes Armor and Mistforged Triumphant Heroes Armor, along with improvements, tactics, siege decorations, tricks, traps, food, and more. The second tab in the World vs. World match overview now displays the war score, victory points, and kill-death statistics throughout the entire match, so it's easier to track how well your world is doing. To promote squads and parties in World vs. World, the party squad UI will now pop up when entering a World vs. World map and suggest 3 squads and 3 parties to join that are currently listed in World vs. World squad play or party play. This should make it easier to find other players to play with while in World vs. World. I actually find this really annoying. Hashtag you said it was kind of annoying, right?
Yeah.
It pops up. But you also found a fix.
Yeah.
Right. It pops up every time you waypoint. So
yes.
It pops up over on the left-hand side where you would have your squad. So if you're roaming or if you're following a tag without being a part of the squad, then yeah, you keep getting that pop-up and you have to keep clicking out of it.
Yeah. Thankfully, this can be disabled by unselecting automatically expand LFG preview in your options. It's on the first tab in options right above the camera options section. I don't know why I said it that way.
Because you weren't sure? Question mark?
World versus World Legendary Backpack. The Legendary Backpack is now obtainable. Warbringer. Talk to Commander Warrazor in any World versus World map to purchase tiers 1 through 4 of the wings. That's going to take a long time to complete. Months. Mm-hmm. Commander Warrazor now sells the Commander's Compendium as well.
Here, hashtag prediction. We are going to have the new expansion before anybody gets the Warbringer.
Interesting. Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
hold you to that hashtag.
All right.
Interesting. Also, do you have to talk about yourself in the third person when you're predicting things? Like,
it's
so
a
strange
thing. It's
Alone
a hashtag,
is fine with
hashtag
it.
Predict.
Oh, God. Okay. Structured player versus player. As part of the June 2017 competitive feature pack, structured player versus player will see PvP League Season 7 updates and changes to the Colosseum map. The Shards of Glory converter can now be used a consistent 5 times per day. I don't know why they get to use theirs 5 times per day. I don't get to use my PvE ones 5 times per day.
Right.
Audio cues have been added to the capture points. I haven't heard that yet. Is that significant? You guys don't know either, I don't think. It's only been a day.
I haven't been in.
Yeah.
I actually didn't even get in to do dailies before the show. I was trying to set up stuff.
Season 7 begins on the 13th. The mini Princess Llama has been added to the Llama mini choice box given out in the final Byzantium chest for League
How
Season
did you miss
7.
This, Alona?
What?
Did you know this?
This is the big news for you.
The Princess Llama! Does it have a tiara?
The mini Princess Llama.
Does it
have a tiara? I haven't seen it. Have you seen it, hashtag?
Does it have a tiara?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
It's gotta have a tiara.
I hope not, just because you're freaking out about it.
Looking it up.
Should we just wait for you to look that up, or should I continue?
No. Continue.
My eyes are like saucers thinking about this. Continue. You may continue.
The final chests in Persimmon and Amaranth and Byzantium, not repeatable, now give a box containing one Grandmaster Mark of the player's choice. Those are expensive.
Sorry.
So gee, I wonder what
for
you're
what
ugh
hashtag
about.
Was that for what Hunter was saying, or is that for the llama?
The llama.
Okay, post the link. Post the link in chat. In Twitch chat.
Okay.
This is worth stopping
Priorities,
the show far.
People.
Scroll
I'm
to the bottom.
Continue. No.
Continue. Right.
Delightful.
Oh my god, I just saw it. That is ridiculous. Only
I mean, you have to be wielding the dreamer.
Oh my god.
And
are they gonna make okay. a legendary weapon that's llama themed, do you think?
I hope not.
Oh, I hope they do.
We don't need more silly legendaries. Anyway.
We need a llama.
Sorry.
Ardent Glorious Armor and Ascended Weapons from PvP League vendors now include Shards of Glory as part of their cost. Ascended Salvage Tools have had their PvP League ticket cost reduced. That's funny because they introduced the World versus World one at high cost, and PvP is getting their cost reduced. Those two teams do not have conversations together, apparently. Eternal Colosseum has received a visual update. I don't know what that means. Eternal Colosseum will be added to the ranked map pool, as will Revenge of the Capricorn, which has been a long time coming. They should have did that a while ago. And that leads us to the Black Line Trading Company Gem Store section. Would you like to read that, hashtag?
I would.
Are you still looking? Are you now thinking about the supposed llama scepter?
I was just overwhelmed by llama-ness. So, to the Black Line Trading Company Gem Store we go. A new magic carpet glider is available in the style category of the gem store for 400 gems. See, I think everyone was distracted by the magic carpet and didn't kind of glazed over the llama. The llama drama.
Know. I actually don't. This is news to me. I'd never read about this at all.
Ah, so the magic carpet glider, it doesn't say it here, but it is not dieable. So there are no die channels. You sit down, so your animation changes to a sit when you pop the glider, and then you kind of pop out of a sit when you put the glider away.
Well, is it like the other, the magic carpet toy? Is it the same as that?
I can't remember. I don't know.
I don't know either.
But the biggest comment that I've seen from people is, great, now we want the
broom.
Broom. Right? So that's
that makes sense.
To be the reaction.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And there's also been some kind of grumbling from people who already have the toy saying, you know, where's my discount?
I mean, it's a fairly cheap glider, to be honest.
Right. That's what I was thinking.
The discount.
400 gems is very reasonable.
Reasonable.
So, yeah. For 2 weeks, a different die kit will return to the gem store every day. Alona, hold on to your gems. The Bloodstone die kit has returned today. This was actually yesterday, right? And is available in the special category of the gem store for 125 gems. So I didn't actually look up what was today. Did either of you see that?
I haven't been in game yet today. So no.
All right. Well, there is a die kit for sale today. Improvements. 6 new and exclusive eye colors have been added to Total Makeover kits, which are available in the service category of the gem store.
Of them, I actually really like golden. It's not generally a huge fan of yellow eyes for, well, humanoid, but obviously it would be great for Charlie. My dog just came in with a toy. Sorry. I have to No.
Professional podcast.
Kind of.
Why didn't you have your door closed?
No. It's kind of funny because my door is closed too, and someone just opened my door and shut the cat through and then closed the door.
Well, with
right
Cal
as you were
home,
saying that, so.
If I had the door shut and Cal's not home, she'd cry at the door. So I have to leave it open a bit so she can come in and out. So.
Right.
And she decided now is a good time to play. So I apologize. I've taken her toy away.
Okay. But back to the eye colors.
Eye colors.
Yeah. The brass one or the golden one. Brass is also good. But brass or golden is a nice yellow and it doesn't look freaky on humans.
Hmm.
But it would probably look great on Char.
I find it that like the only people that care about eye color are the actual owners of the character. And maybe that matters, but like you're never going to notice another person's eye color on pretty much any of their characters unless you are like really close.
Zoomed.
Perhaps true for humanoid, but Silvari and Char and Azura, that is absolutely not the case.
Okay, name some eye colors on any one of my characters.
What is hashtag's eye color?
Is it blue?
No.
No, I don't know. I actually haven't looked at hashtag's eyes.
Right? Well,
but
I have a huge head.
But if you had pink or the rose colored eyes, I probably would notice.
Yes. Fair enough.
Yeah. Oh my God, this tiny chest burster.
All right. So moving on. The guaranteed wardrobe unlock available inside the Black Lion chest has been updated with over 700 new items.
Yeah,
who knew they had that many? Yeah,
I did. It's huge.
Who knew they had that many more skins to add to it?
Well, apparently there were a lot of things that were skipped over, a lot of little things that had missed the first round. So, it's not like they added 700 new skins. And one piece of the Hellfire Achievement Armor set snuck into the guaranteed wardrobe unlocked. It has been kicked back out. How dare you
phrase that like it's a sentient thing trying to get into a secret club.
Yeah. And then we had some late notes. Adjustments have been made to the Watchtower Cliffs area of Lake Dork. And we have a link to a thread. I believe this is forum.
The original thread where they announced that they were going to nerf the NG farm. Yeah.
And that's it for our late note.
So continuing on with the gem store, I get to take over this time. There was the Outlaw Appearance Pack that is in the gem store. It's only available for like 5 or 6 more days from the time of our recording, I think. But it's a wild outlaw outfit has appeared. And so that's in there.
Yeah, well. A trench coat. Original.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, and also the mini outlaw puppy. And
it's just the mini puppy with a hat
and a handkerchief.
Yeah, the handkerchief. The handkerchief is what makes it.
Yeah. And
no, I disagree. Yes.
Well, fine. So you can get each item from the gem store individually, or there is a package where you get the outfit, the mini. I'm trying to remember this off the top of my head, actually. The immortal weapons, total makeover kit, 5 of one type of the dyes. I can't remember. I got nothing out of those because yes, I bought gems
and wasted and bought them the whole on dyes and black line.
No, yes. I did not waste them on dyes. I got the kit because I wanted the puppy and the outfit and the immortal weapon. So there. So I got all of
so, those. Yeah, past 30 seconds, you got me mentioning Black alone I'm buying keys, and if you were listening closely, me rolling my eyes into the back of my head. So yes. Bingo players, beware.
Yes, animals wearing clothing are important to the world, like llamas or puppies. So I was like, oh, so cute. And something that it would have been on, if we had done the show last week, this would have been on that one. So it's not necessarily super new news, but they added an infinite unbound magic gathering tools. And they did it, it's all 3. So you can't, I don't know if they will ever have them individually, but they're a bundle. You get all three. And they award unbound magic every time you use them. And I...
And I've written a little rant here about
little.
Yeah.
Do you understand what that word means?
Let me start. What a disgrace. Did we not go through this drama when the Watchwork mining tool was released? Having a gem store item that trumps any other gem store item and isn't just a skin is stepping into pay to win territory. I feel like our internet needs to make the same mistake several times before they ever learn anything from it. Unfortunately, the response has practically been enthusiastic for these tools, and I'm sure it's made them a lot of money, so I guess we'll be seeing more of these abominations. On other notes, I feel like it takes away motivation to play in the Season 3 zones and acquire unbound magic by playing. And although there is a...
It does not.
I think it definitely does. Like, if you're getting thousands of unbound magic from just gathering throughout the game, then you're not going to go back and get more unbound magic.
Speaking from experience, it does not.
How much unbound magic? Wait, you have them.
Yeah. And I still go to the zones every day. Well, every day that I've been on to play.
How much unbound magic do you get per gather?
It can depend. Like, because you get more hits off... Let's say 3 to 4 thereabouts. Let's say
that's a fair amount. That's gonna add up.
Yeah,
it does.
So you admit that it adds up. Fine. Yeah.
But I still go to the other zones because I need more.
Season 3 zones.
Yeah.
I think most people won't have to. Although there is a large gold sink for the magic warp packets, I still feel like it will have a negative effect on the economy. And not to mention, this fuels the flawed design of having multiple currencies in every new zone. We wouldn't need petrified wood or primeval orchids or whatever as a second currency for every zone for if if Unbound Magic were harder to get. I was a bit too harsh in this part.
Wow.
Yeah, but I'll just skip over the swearing and say I would have to bet that a former employee of some pay-to-win game came up with this nonsense idea.
I bet you felt better after typing that out, though.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah.
I love them. And Chad has had a couple, I think, reasonable responses as well. Like from the, you could still get those tools for karma. They're not permanent, but you can use them. So you can get multiple Unbound Magic. And C&Q is saying that they found the effects on them super obnoxious. And particularly the gathering one, I love the effects on that one. And it's partly the effects. I find them wonderful, but I love the audio effects.
I think they're obnoxious and loud and in my face.
I can see how someone would. I'm not saying that people cannot have their opinion, but I personally I find the molten mining axe or mining pick way more obnoxious, or the clown that I'm not allowed to use when Key's online and playing with me, or you know, like there's other ones I find more obnoxious. I mean, I still like them, but or like even the flute, the musical gathering tools, like
can you turn off hearing other people's tools?
I think if they're talking, wasn't that something that was added for if they were it was a talking thing, but I don't know if it was for gathering tools or just for like, I can't remember. The clown is creepy and I love it. Hmm. But yes,
I just
you
think
can,
it sets
saying.
A
it's the
sets
new
a
audio
terrible
toggle.
Precedent. Yeah. I mean, well, that was already set by the Watchworks Pocket mining tool. Like that's even more ridiculous. That's a worse example than these Unbound Magic tools, which have a limited use just in those zones and with the currency that requires a gold sink and petrified wood, etc. But it's still a bad idea to have these tools, and I just hope they don't, you know, come up with something that's like the Watchworks Sprocket again. This is definitely in that direction.
You know, if they come out with something like this with the frequency, so of the Watchworks Sprocket time frame to
like another set for season four for whatever resources.
I mean when the Watchworks Sprocket came out how many years ago, two or three now?
Yeah,
so if it was an again like maybe a year or two down, like not maybe not frequently but infrequently, I think it's fine.
Well, the also with the Watchworks... it's limited though, right? Isn't the Unbound Magic one limited? So we have a limited time to purchase it versus the Watchwork pick. Which
that for me, that makes it worse because, first of all, digital scarcity is a joke. Like, there's no reason to take
it
out.
But it will come back.
But what I mean by that is if it's limited, then that should have a lesser impact on the economy.
Maybe, but like, my main problem with the Watchwork Sprocket thing is the main source of Watchers Sprockets is that mining pick.
Right.
And that is a resource that comes directly from the gem store, which is a very bad idea.
Hmm. I have made money off it, but I have not necessarily become like ungodly rich from it. And yeah. I do a lot of gathering.
Yeah.
And the Watchwork Sprocket is on my main. So there's that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I've reached the end of that.
Yes.
Now we're going to move on to Toasts of Ascalon.
Yes. Sometimes we like to take note of artwork, community events, fan creations, and other notable Guild Wars 2 happenings, and propose a toast to their existence. This episode, we wanted to give a hearty congratulations to ArenaNet concept artist Carlin Lim for winning first place in ArtStation's Character Design Survivor Submission category. So they had a Survivor category like we had our Survivor polls. Were they theming it after that, or was it just something completely different?
Completely different.
I don't know.
Okay.
Because I linked this one in, and which is separate from the poll that we had.
Yeah, so if you look at the link that I assume we're going to tweet out, or...
And I put... I put it in the, yeah, we can tweet it out. I put it in the Twitch chat too.
Yes. Lots of really great artwork, and the style is impeccable.
Love it. Love it so much.
It's incredible. I love the sisters one.
The lamp seller.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I want that as a poster on my wall. Love it so much. I'm looking at them all again now.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, I'm looking up.
Yeah. Because I have the golem. I love the golem.
I think the cartographer is my favorite. I love all the textures and all the details that, and just the style.
I really like the spy assassins. That's the sisters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess they're not really sisters. It's just...
Yeah, I was wondering what you meant by that.
Yeah. Okay. I couldn't remember the name.
Okay. And also this week in Toast of Escalon, we have Cool Blue Nerd has created a Guild Wars 2 game guide, or several game guides that you can find at coolbluenerd.com. And those guides cover such topics as Welcome to Tyria, Tips and Hints for the New Player, Casual Gearing for the Casual Player, Fractals of the Mists, Scaling Dungeons Filled with Fun and Agony, Elite Specializations, Supercharge Your Class, and finally, PvP, Have Fun Beating Up Your Friends.
This is very well organized. It's very approachable. Like, particularly from my perspective, the first two, the Tips and Hints for the New Player and the Casual Gearing for the Casual Player, I think those are wonderful categories to have. And I'm so glad that they have included them. And yeah, very good job. Kudos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Made me want to blog a little bit when I went to the blog.
You should.
No, thank you. I'm done.
What?
And that is it. That is the show. So to get in touch with us, you can contact me, hashtag, on Twitter at #thetag. And there are two A's in hash. Or sig.1735 in game. You can tweet Hunter at Hunter's Insight on Twitter. You can engage Alona at One Big Pair or in game at onebigpair.1249. You can listen directly from our website at hostsofascalon.com or grab the RSS feed to use with your preferred podcast app or subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. And don't forget, we live stream the show at twitch.tv/hostsofascalon on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern. Our next live Twitch show will be recorded on June 21st. So put that in your calendars.
You gotta say it.
I did not write this. Good show, hashtag. I am fantastic. You are welcome for having me bless you with my presence.
How do you bless yourself with your own presence?
No! Alona!
How do you know it was me?
Because you're cackling over there.
You know, frankly, hashtag, I'm surprised that you would write this sort of thing for your outro.
Yeah, it's really big-headed of you. Ugh. I don't know if we can continue.
Oh, but I'm bump. Well,
you
played.
And hashtag, it was only a matter of time before your Azura and you started to meld into one with your ginormous head.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Truth.